Good evening, St. Mark's family and everyone else who's able to join us online for our worship service. We're just waiting for the chimes to stop ringing there. There was the hesitation. We continue our midweek Lenten journey as we take a look at the war Jesus went into so that you and I and all people could have life in and through his name. And the life he gives to us, it centers around the forgiveness of sins that he has won for us through his shed blood. And where there is this forgiveness, there is new life in Christ. And with this new life, not only comes a new attitude of living for God now, here on this earth, but also living with God for all eternity. So may the Lord God help us grow in our appreciation of what Jesus Christ was willing to do for us, to go to war for us, with all of us in mind. May he deepen that appreciation, whether we've heard this message for the first time or we've heard it for how many times. Blessings on your worship tonight. We turn our attention to our order of service. The bulletin was included as a link in an email to those who receive our emails. And also you can find it as a link on our website, stmarkslutheran.com. We're going to start with our opening hymn. It's on page 3 of the bulletin, if you have that open. It's also found in Christian Worship, a Lutheran hymnal, number 127, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted. We worship this evening in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God our Father, each day is a gift of your grace.
Your mercies are new every morning.
Guide our steps by the light of your word.
Shield us from harm and keep us from evil.
Better than life is your love.
Put joy in our hearts and praise on our lips.
We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who led your people Israel with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Enlighten our darkness by the light of your Christ. May his word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. For you are merciful, and you love your whole creation. We, your creatures, glorify you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn our attention to the Passion History of our Lord. We're at part 4 of the Passion History. Again, it was included as a link. It's also found on our website. If you have the responsive reading version, please follow along as indicated. We hear these words. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought this man to me as one who is misleading the people. Look, I have examined him in your presence. I have found in this man no basis for the charges you are bringing against him. Herod did not either, for he sent him back to us. See, he has done nothing worthy of death. So I will have him flogged and release him." At the time of the festival, the governor had a custom to release to the crowd any one prisoner they wanted. At that time, they were holding a notorious prisoner named Barabbas, who had been thrown in prison for a rebellion in the city and for murder. The crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do for them what he usually did. So when they were assembled, Pilate said to them, "Do you want me to release the king of the Jews to you? Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For Pilate, in fact, knew that they had handed Jesus over to him because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, Pilate's wife sent him a message. "Have nothing to do with that righteous man," she said, "since I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus put to death. The governor asked them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They all shouted together with one voice, "Take him away. Release Barabbas to us." Pilate said to them, "Then what do you want me to do with the man you call the King of the Jews? What should I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Crucify him." But the governor said, "Why? What has he done wrong?" But they kept shouting even louder, "Crucify him." Pilate addressed them again, because he wanted to release Jesus. But they kept shouting, "Crucify, crucify him." He said to them the third time, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found no grounds for sentencing him to death. So I will whip him and release him." But they kept pressuring him with loud voices, demanding that he be crucified, and their voices were overwhelming. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand, knelt in front of him, and mocked him by saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spit on him, took the staff, and hit him repeatedly on his head. They also kept hitting him in the face. Pilate went outside again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and guards saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" Pilate told them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He went back inside the palace again and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate asked him, "Are you not talking to me? Don't you know that I have the authority to release you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no authority over me at all if it had not been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to release Jesus. But the Jews shouted, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside. He sat down on the judge's seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, or Gabbatha in Aramaic. It was about the sixth hour on the preparation day for the Passover. Pilate said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They shouted, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Should I crucify your king?" "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. When Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, and that instead it was turning into a riot, he decided that what they demanded would be done. He took water, washed his hands in front of the crowd, and said, "I am innocent of this righteous man's blood. It is your responsibility." And all the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Since he wanted to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. So then Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified. After they had mocked him, the soldiers took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. Jesus was carrying his own cross. As they were going out of the city, a certain man, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country. They placed the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd of the people was following him, including women who were mourning and wailing for him. Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, stop weeping for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Be sure of this, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never gave birth, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things to the green wood, what will happen to the dry?" Here ends the Passion reading. We join in the seasonal response. It's printed on the bottom of page 4 of the service bulletin. "All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed." We continue with our next hymn. It's found in Christian Worship, Number 453, Come Follow Me, the Savior Spoke. It's also printed out for us on page 5 of the bulletin.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of God's Word for our consideration on this Ash Wednesday is recorded in John chapter 6, verses 66 through 68. Those words are printed inside your worship folder. From this time, many of Jesus' disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. This is our text. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, once again, making another Lenten journey to our Savior's cross. All of us here understand, some of us better than others, but all of us know to a certain degree just how bad cancer really is. Cancer is an insidious disease that likes to hide itself inside the body, and it tends to stay hidden until something terrible happens, symptoms pop up, or a test reveals its presence, until that time it wraps itself around your insides, and it ruins, and it kills, and it's dreadful. And I found myself thinking a little bit about that wretched disease as I was working on the sermon for this evening, taking a look at our text, because isn't that kind of what was happening to the people that we just heard about? In John chapter 6, we have the feeding of the 5,000, and then after that, we have a lot of people who want Jesus to be their king because he can provide for them the food that they're after and heal the diseases and the injuries and cast out demons and do all the neat, nifty things that he's been doing. Plus, he has a provocative, powerful message that everybody loves to hear, so let's make him king. One way or another, if he won't do it, if he's not willing to ascend the throne, then we'll make him king by force. That's what they think. But Jesus preaches a message then after that. This is all in John chapter 6, telling the people, you know what? You're not looking deep enough. You need to look deeper. And what he says after that about the bread of life and his blood, ooh, that causes some problems and makes people stand back and think, what? They didn't like what he had to say. They had a big problem with it. Listen, words just before our text, that words just before what I read to you. At this, the Jews began to grumble about Jesus because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So let's keep this simple. I mean, we could spend quite a bit of time tonight talking about why they were having a problem with what Jesus said. That's probably a different sermon. Let's just focus on the fact they had a problem with what Jesus said. And because they had a problem with what Jesus said, they wouldn't follow him anymore. They had a problem with his word. Do you? Are you willing to listen? More specifically, are you willing to act on the word that the Lord places before you? Because very often we behave as if we're not willing to do that. Imagine for a second that you reach a point in your life where you're finally able to buy the car that you have always dreamed about, brand new. Right off the showroom floor, it's exactly what you want with all the bells and whistles. And you get it home and you park it in the garage and you polish it every 15 minutes or so and you just enjoy driving that car around town. And then suddenly a friend calls you up and he says, you know what? I need a car. Would you mind if I borrow your brand new car for a few days? And nice guy that you are, you say, you know what? Yeah, I don't mind at all. Go ahead. 4 or 5 days later, he pulls back into the driveway. First thing you notice, he's attempted to spray paint it with a can of bright green paint. And if that weren't bad enough, you notice that the muffler's gone. He's cut it off. Why? Well, because he thinks the motor sounds a little more aggressive without that extra muffler. And when he stands there with the car door open, you walk around to the side and look inside, it's full of garbage. And for some reason, he's allowed his 85-pound pit bull to treat the leather interior as a chew toy, and he spilled a supersized Dr. Pepper on the driver's seat, and everything's stinky. You can't believe it. And he asks the guy, "What is this? What happened?" And he says, "Well, I just broke it in a little bit. You know, I think it's better like this, really." But you say, "No, and I don't really care what you think. It's not your car. It's mine. It's my car." You know, sometimes I think that you and I get to treating God's world and God's word much like the way this guy did who borrowed his friend's car. You know, we act as if we're somehow entitled to them. That everything that we have, God should provide even more than he's already given. And his word is completely negotiable, whether we want to listen or not. That's totally up to us. Have we forgotten that we're simply guests here in this world? Have we forgotten that God doesn't owe us anything? Certainly not his word, but he has spoken. It's just that we know that word well, and so often when all of a sudden that word comes head to head with the desires of our sinful nature, we don't put up much of a fight. We kind of cave in. We know the word, "Oh, the Lord is clear." Check your pride at the door. Okay, sinful pride doesn't have any place in the Christian's heart. We know this word, don't lust, don't entertain lustful thoughts. Be ready to forgive anything, every time. Don't hold grudges, and don't you dare throw down the crosses that the Lord places upon you. I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know here tonight. I mean, you know God's will from his word, and you know it well, but so often we know that word, and all of a sudden, there comes our sinful nature, and the two are in conflict with each other, and suddenly we start acting like we're bargaining. And the Lord Almighty, our Savior, is like a used car salesman. "Oh, you know, you don't really know what I need. You don't have maybe my best interests at heart. You don't understand. I mean, things are a little more complicated today in my life than they were, you know, when you wrote everything down in the scriptures. And besides, if I do something wrong, I'll slap a little repentance on it later, and what difference will it make?" And that's the attitude we have if we think about the will of God in the first place. Because so often we go flying through each and every single day without even one time asking ourselves, "Is this what the Lord wants me to do? Is this the way I should act? The way I should speak?" Don't lose your temper. 99.9% of the time when you're angry, you have embraced sin. Do not entertain lustful thoughts. We know this. Don't flash your sinful pride. Don't cast down the crosses that God gives you to bear. Follow your Lord and Savior. But we haven't. We don't. And most assuredly, on this, the beginning of the Lenten season 2020, we recognize our sin. It's there in the raw. We get it. We've rebelled against the Lord. And for what we have done, he should walk away. But thank God he doesn't. Because Jesus is a warrior. And a warrior never quits. Jesus certainly didn't. He didn't quit on anyone. He has never and will never quit on you. You can be certain of that, because no matter how agonizing your salvation was, think about that, that whole event that we learn about in Scripture, the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was in such anguish that his sweat was like great drops falling to the ground, and he pleaded with his heavenly Father, "Take this cup from me, but not my will, your will be done." There was only one way forward, and that was for Jesus to suffer what he did. No matter how terrifying it was, he was there on the cross. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he stayed until every last ounce of guilt was washed away. See, that's what Jesus has done. He suffered, died, he rose again. He went toe-to-toe with enemies that we could not overcome. You know them, sin, death, the power of the devil. He conquered them all. He buried our sin in his tomb. And when there was, when he died, when he rose again, he left them behind. The guilt of your sin can haunt you no more. And the victory Jesus won is yours now. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Did those who abandoned Jesus on the day of our text realize that? Do you? How desperately we need the warrior. How foolish we would have to be to think we could go just even a half second without him. A number of years ago when my sister was in college, she worked at a really fancy restaurant in downtown Milwaukee. In fact, it's a restaurant directly across the street from where the Bucks, the Milwaukee Bucks basketball club plays. And we got to go there a few times, really quite a joint. And here's the interesting thing. Bill Clinton was president at that particular time, and he decided that he wanted to have dinner there. The restaurant was called Turner Hall. And so they made arrangements, got it all set, put the date on the calendar, and 3 weeks prior to that, the Secret Service sent out an advance team to kind of scout everything out. And my sister was really impressed. They were thorough. This team came in, and they looked over the whole place, noting very carefully which exits were where, which were closest to each part of the restaurant, where the president would need to be in order to get him out quickly if there was a problem. They sit down in all sorts of different seats to actually determine which seat makes it most difficult for a sniper to shoot him if there should be somebody on a rooftop nearby. And then they interview everybody who's going to be working that night. My sister guessed, and those were the things that she was aware of. She said there were probably 50 other things they did that I didn't know anything about, but it sure was impressive. And when you think about it, the security surrounding the President of the United States is impressive, and it's got to be. Arguably, he's the most powerful man in the world, and there are a lot of people who hate his guts and would love to see him dead. If, I suspect, if he were to travel around all by himself, minus the security, he probably wouldn't last a day. So he doesn't. He's no fool. The president travels with heavy security. And what the Secret Service has to tell the president, he listens to, because they are concerned about his welfare. They want him safe. Could we not say the very same thing about our Savior? Times a thousand? I mean, he's demonstrated very well that he cares about us and he loves us more than we could ever possibly know. He's also made it abundantly clear in his word that there are forces arrayed against us that we could never hope to stand against. We need him by our side every single moment of every single day. And he's there. We need to understand even more that he's given us his word not so that he can cut down on our enjoyment of life in this world. He's given us his word because he's concerned about our welfare. He wants to keep us safe. How foolish we would be to ignore him. How foolish we would be to avoid him, to walk away from him. He is the warrior. He is the one who keeps us safe. You know, King David was a man who was very, very familiar with danger. He was in battle. He was pursued. He was hunted. All sorts of crazy things happened. He faced a giant. He was in danger often. But he knew that with the warrior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by his side he was safe. In fact, David wrote about him one time, numerous times in fact, but boy, he really hit it on the head with the 23rd Psalm. There he doesn't call Jesus a warrior, he calls him a shepherd, but they're similar thoughts. Listen, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So you see, not only does Jesus forgive and save and bless and provide and protect and love, he also motivates us to follow him. And to stay close to him through his word. Did you notice in our text tonight? I mean, those few words. There were those who were abandoning Jesus left and right. And he said to them, you don't want to leave too, do you? And he didn't say that as a threat. He didn't say to them, you don't want to leave me too, do you? Do you understand what will happen if you do? Straight to hell. And I'll rain down fire on you. You won't even know what hit you. So help me. He doesn't threaten. He doesn't force. He urges. Calls. He encourages. You know, I imagine as I read these words from John 6, every time I've read them, I actually, personally, I think there was a certain amount of fear in Jesus' voice. If we can say that. I mean, understand what I'm saying here. He said, you do not want to leave me. You don't want to leave too, do you? I think he was afraid because he understood, if you leave, I know what's going to happen. I don't want it to happen. By the grace of God, Peter knew better. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Does. It's his world and he's given us so much. And it's his word and we need to listen, for we are blessed as we do. May God forgive us for those times when we've pushed him aside, maybe even ignored him, pretended as if his will was of no significance, as if we could do perfectly well all by ourselves. May he forgive us for that. Indeed, in Christ he has. And may he move us to dig into that word. That we can hear his voice, know his will, follow him closely, and always be right by his side. For at the side of the warrior, we are eternally safe. Amen. Please rise.
At this time of the service, which would normally be our thank offering, we just want to say thank you to our members for continuing to support our ministry. As with your own homes here at St. Mark's, our expenses continue, so we appreciate you sending in your offerings by way of mail or also using our online resources on our website. So as you are able to continue to do so, please continue to support the ministry here at St. Mark's. By sending your offerings through the mail or by going online to our website. Thank you. Let's continue with the prayer of the church. We pray. Heavenly Father, you loved the world and gave your Son to liberate us from sin and death by his obedient death on the cross.
We confess that without your love, we are lost.
Lord of the church, we thank you for the treasure of the gospel. By your Spirit, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.
Strengthen our determination to do what pleases you, no matter what the danger or the cost.
Let us pray for those who carry a cross in the name of Christ and face ridicule and persecution for the sake of the kingdom, missionaries and chaplains, young people who stand up for what is right in the face of pressure to do what is wrong, and all who pay a high price for their faith and their values as Christians.
By your Spirit, O Lord, grant them patience and endurance.
Help us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Keep us faithful even to the point of death, that we may receive the crown of life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our next hymn is from Christian Worship, number 402, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Again, the words are printed for us on page 6 of the bulletin. We pray. Lord God, a holy desires, all good counsels and all just works come from you. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments. Defend us also from the fear of our enemies, that we may live in peace and quietness, through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn is from Christian Worship, number 122. We'll sing verses 1, 4, and 5. Sing, my tongue, the glorious battle. Just want to note one fact. We appreciate the fact that we're able to record sermons. Our midweek series are divided among six pastors in the area. Tonight we heard from Pastor David Waterstrat, who serves at Hope in Penryn, California. So we're thankful for the message from God's Word we're able to hear from him this evening. Continue to be safe as you go forward in the days and weeks ahead. Our next online service will be on Sunday morning. Take care. Thank you.